that she sought from you, Lord God. You'd open her mouth. Lord, you'd open our ears. Lord, that we would hear clearly what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, that the prophetic would just flow. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me just bend this. You just stand there and hold it for me, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Why not? We're a team.
It's great. You know, it's funny because at 10 o'clock this morning, I think there were about 20 of you here. And I was going, sweet, I don't have many to talk to. And it's funny because I actually had a dream the other night that only 20 people turned up as well. Obviously, my dreams are not prophetic. So over the past few months, as a church family, and it's come out of the Good and Beautiful Community, it stems back to the Good and Beautiful Community that we did at the start of the week. We've been, one of the things that came out of it was we were looking at the importance of building authentic relationships, having authentic relationships within our church family, and then extending that into the wider community. And over those months that we've been hearing a little bit about that, we've had some amazing, insightful words spoken from the front here. A few weeks ago, we had Alison Mooney come and speak about personality traits. Who enjoyed that? It was great, eh? So because it was incredibly insightful, you know, as you stood and watched where people went, for me, there were like little pieces of jigsaw started to fit together. Oh, yeah. You know? So that was the peaceful, the powerful, the playful and precise. Some of them were quite interesting, seeing what people chose, because I myself was told something completely different to what I thought I should be in. So I don't know whether that was the same with some of you. We've had Bev in the last few weeks talk about the drama and the winner's triangle. Thank you, Bev. It's great. Because I think that helps to give us perspective, again, of why people are the way they are. You know, and it's with Bev's, it was great because there was also a lot of self-examination there as well. You know, sometimes we can be very quick to judge people. You know, and I think that what we've been learning hopefully is giving us those tools so that we don't are not quite so quick to judge, because the Bible has a lot to say about judging. This morning I'm going to be speaking on a passage from the New Testament, and I truly believe it can bring transformation not only to ourselves but to our relationships with others and to our relationship with God. And I found that because I've been thinking about this particular topical week, I've become increasingly aware about how I react in different situations, how I react to those around me. The title today, let's see how onto it Paul is Increasingly Bearing the Fruit of the Spirit. So I want you to join me, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and, oh, you're very good. Some of you have obviously learnt that. Okay, so it's in Galatians 5, and we're going to be looking at that shortly. But as part of my preparation today, I read a short summary on what the book of Galatians was about. So Paul the Apostle wrote this, and he wrote, Paul wrote this letter to the Christian churches in the Roman province of Galatia. These churches were being confused by false teachers called Judaizers. These men were teaching the Gentile Christians that they were not really saved unless they obeyed the Jewish laws. And those laws were things like being circumcised, only eating special foods, and celebrating the Jewish feast days. Paul actually wrote, and he said that we cannot be saved from our sins by obeying the law. We are saved only by believing in Jesus Christ. He also taught that Christians are free to live by the law of love and not by the law of Moses. So if you think about that, this preaching that Paul brought to these people, you know, it was confusing. It was a difficult thing to take on board, because for centuries they had been following the customs, the rituals that their forefathers had done. It was the only thing they knew. And here Paul was introducing this complete new idea of freedom. I think sometimes that even today, there's many of us or many people out in our community that struggle with that whole idea of how does freedom fit in with Christianity? Because it's often perceived as something that's about rules, do's and don'ts of what you are allowed and what you're not allowed to do. Okay, so let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I've made it simple for you so you don't have to tune into your iPhones. So if someone's looking at their iPhone, you know they're probably playing a game or reading the paper. No, trying to make it simple. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So two quite profound lines in there. Serve one another humbly in love, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to talk into that a little bit soon, but we're just going to keep on reading. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, verse 16 there states, walk by the Spirit. Paul is telling them that if they walk by the Spirit, and of course it's referring to the Holy Spirit here, that they will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Romans chapter 7, verses 5 and 6 says, now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Paul is just backing up what he has written in previous letters to other places. On our own, it would be impossible to overcome the sinful nature and the desires of the flesh. But when we operate in the Spirit, we have a supernatural ability to overcome. You know, I think of that and I think, man, what a precious gift God is just freely offering to us. Yeah, and the more that we draw near to Him, the more we're going to experience some change and transformation in our life. So we'll just read the rest of this passage now. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousies, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, verse 22 starts, but the fruit is. It doesn't say fruits, the fruits are. It's just fruit. It's singular. So it's suggesting here it's a unity. As much as we'd probably like to just pick out some of the easy ones and ignore the tough ones, it doesn't say that. It's a unity. You've got to follow this, okay? So this morning I want to ask you, do you see the evidence of all those fruit in your lives? You know, if you think about it, do you see love? Do you have joy in your life? Peace? What actions of yours or ours can we point that demonstrate patience, kindness, goodness? What about evidence of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I know for myself that if someone set up a spy cam on me for a week, it would be pretty scary. You know, because my behavior over the course of the week, you know, I know I would fall short in some of those areas. As I mentioned earlier, because I've been processing this over the last few weeks, I've been more and more aware of how I am, or rather how I've not been operating in the spirits. And some days it can just be plain hard. You know, it's, you know, you think about it. You're driving into Warkworth and you're stuck behind someone driving 60 kilometres per hour all the way in. Do you think my level, Oh, sorry, I won't mention my father-in-law, no. you know, what do you think your level of patience is like? Especially when you've got to get somewhere to an appointment, you know? My children, I know they don't think I display kindness when I give them a technology ban. Not to mention my husband, who, when we're running late for something, thinks about my level of patience. You know, but seriously, we all have our strong and weak points. And I think that it would be nice sometimes to have the list in front of you and go, cross that out. No, I don't want to do that. No, that's just too hard. You know, because let's face it, some are easier than others. And sometimes it can depend on how we're feeling. You know, whether we're willing to extend that hand of goodness or kindness. You know, because some days things just don't go well for us. Sometimes it's our health that affects our decisions. Sometimes it's how tired we are. Sometimes our interactions with other people are with people that just get on our nerves. And I think we can probably all agree we have people like that in our lives. Uh-huh. Yeah? Do I get a yeah from anyone? You know, but the great news is that God understands. He knows that we're human, and that's why he's given us tools. He's given us the Bible. You know, it's our personal instruction book. It's why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also called the Helper. It's why God tells us that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of our sinful natures. And I don't know about you, but I say amen to that, because simply we cannot do that on our own. Now, looking at this passage, and please bear in mind here that this is, it's obviously we've got the God element in all of these characteristics, okay? But what I'm wanting to do today is I'm wanting to get across to you, this is about building authentic relationships and how we, in the spirit of love, can actually get through this and help each other. So if we could sum up this passage, I think that there are three main areas of our lives that this relates to. One is about the habits of the mind. Secondly, it's about our relationships to others. And thirdly, it's about our conduct in general. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to go through each of the fruit of the Spirit and look at those and how, and just see if we can all gain a little bit of a better understanding. So the first one is love. And I don't believe it's any mistake that is placed first. You know, in this chapter of Galatians alone, we're told to serve one another in love. We're told that love fulfills the law. You know, this was a connection that both the people of Galatia and us can connect with today. You know, serve one another in love. For the people of Galatia, love fulfills the law. Rather than all these rituals and ceremonies, it's all about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we probably all know that as the love chapter. And it describes the attributes of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I love that. Jesus also said that loving God and other people is the most important commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But he doesn't leave it just there. He says, a second is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourself. And of course, Paul is quoting this in this passage of Scripture. So how do you love your neighbour? You know, with all of their faults and areas that you can find to criticize, how do you love them? How do you learn to love them? I believe very strongly that you must first learn to receive God's love for yourself. Until then, I don't think you can truly love anyone else. We may go about doing all the right things, but our motivation is wrong. And God isn't nearly as concerned about what we do as he is about the attitude of our hearts. It's got to be a heart thing. If you're sitting here right now and you don't know about or how to receive that abundant love of God into your life, or maybe you just feel that God is just so far away from you, too far removed, we're going to provide an opportunity at the end for you to respond to that and to come and ask some questions, because, you know, God, his desire is to be part of your life and his love is free. All you need to do is ask. It's there for you. Now, the next on the list is joy. The dictionary definition of joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Think about when you hang out with your best friends. Okay, you've been hanging out with them, you've had a great time. You come away with a real sense of joy. You feel uplifted. So it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. You've actually enjoyed their company. Now, in the context of relationships, joy is the result of a healthy relationship. When relationships fall apart because of broken commitments, there's a loss of joy. When there's conflict and bitterness, there's no joy. But the first result of true love in relationships is the renewal of joy. The next one is peace. The dictionary definition of peace is freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility. Once again, in the context of relationships, instead of hatred and discord, dissensions and factions, which are mentioned in verses 20 and 21, you've got harmony and order. There's a quote by this German monk. He says, "First keep peace within yourself, then you can also bring peace to others." That really resonated with me. It really did. Patience. The dictionary definition states that it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without being annoyed or anxious. I see a few smiles around here. It's the opposite of anger. It's the opposite of having a short temper. It's the opposite of fits of rage. And in relationships, it's the quality of staying with and around people, even when you've been constantly wronged and irritated by them. And I think parenting sometimes, this is something that gets really stretched because children feel constantly wronged and they irritate us. So it's a sort of no-win there. But Joyce Meyer quotes, "Patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting." Isn't that great? Just gives perspective, I reckon. Now, next one, kindness. It's a quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate, or doing an act of good. Goodness is the quality of being good. And I think that both kindness and goodness team up with patience, because those three together, you develop a sweet-natured character. And, you know, and doing good toward people is a great way to stay in healthy relationship with them in love. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the quality of keeping commitments in relationships. You know, and just on that, you know, God talks extensively about his faithfulness. You know, and that there, the quality of keeping commitments in relationships, God is our best example of that. He is a faithful God. The dictionary defines it to be loyal, true, constant, fast, and steadfast. And only the Spirit can produce the quality of loyalty, no matter what the cost in this area. Gentleness. It's the opposite of selfish ambition. Gentle people are not conceited, provoking, and envying each other, as it says in verse 26. Gentleness is an expression of humility, considering the needs and hurts of others before one's own personal goals. So it's about putting others before you. And then the last fruit is self-control. And the dictionary defines this as the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult situations. It's the opposite of self-indulgence. Those who are spirit-led will not indulge in the sinful nature. They're not characterized by, and it lists them all there, sexual immorality, it goes through drunkenness and orgies. They do not use other people to gratify their own appetites. They have the strength to say no to themselves and no to the desires of the sinful nature. And this one in particular takes a lot of self-discipline. In his book, The Three Colours of Love, a gentleman called Christian Schwartz makes a case that there's actually only one fruit of the Spirit, love. And then it's got its descriptors that follow it. So you've got joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so when you compare 1 Corinthians 13, which we know as the love chapter, and this passage that we've been reading, there is a lot of correlation. You know, there's a lot that go hand in hand with those two chapters. So regardless of whether you see the fruit of the Spirit as being 9 separate fruits or one, it doesn't matter. That's not the issue. The issue is that we need to grow. And it's when we actually need to step back and assess where we're at so we can deliver, we can develop our own inner selves. The final couple of verses in this passage read, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." That verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In one of the commentaries I read on this passage, it said, keep in step is actually a military term to make a military command to make a straight line or to march in ordered rows. The Holy Spirit sets the line and the pace for us to follow. Keeping in step with the Spirit takes active concentration and discipline of the whole person, just as a soldier concentrates and is disciplined in marching to the beat. We constantly see many alternative paths to follow. We constantly get distracted and hear other drummers who want to quicken or slow down our pace. We need to learn to reject them, to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. We need to tune them out to listen only to the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So if we allow the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about in verse 16, where he says to walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, we will see transformation in our lives. The character qualities that are defined by the fruit of the Spirit are not to be taken as a list of laws or moral codes that must be kept, but they're actually a direct result of living and being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a choice, and we have to make it. It's only when we allow this to happen, we invite the Holy Spirit in, that we will see this transformation take place. We will start to see the fruit of the Spirit bearing in our lives. Do you want that? Do you want to be that difference in our community? So in desiring to build authentic relationships with those around us, when people look at you, what do they see? Are they seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life? For me personally, I want to see transformation, and I need as much help as I can get. This week, I challenge you, take a step back, just as I've had the opportunity the last couple of weeks, and think about this. Which of the fruit are your strengths? Because I believe that some of us find some of them easier than others. You know, what ones are you weak with? And it's an eye-opener. It's a real eye-opener when you start to self-examine and reflect on how you've been in your day. One of the suggestions that I read with this was to help us with this is that if you take a notebook, use 9 pages, at the top of each page, write one of the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. Then go through and write down as many examples as you can think of in your own life where maybe you have demonstrated the fruits to others, or maybe others have demonstrated the fruit to you. I think it would be a real eye-opener for us. No? If you want to see change in your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity now, because I believe God really wants to help us in this area. Can we all stand, please? In learning to love our neighbour, I talked about first needing to receive the love of God into our lives. If you don't know how to do this and you'd like to, I'm going to invite you in a minute or so to come up and we'd like to pray with you. You might feel that, you know, God is just far away from you at the moment. We want you to know God is near you. And again, I'm going to be inviting you to come forward because we want you to not have that distance. God is there waiting for you. His arms are open. For everyone else, if you desire to see transformation in your life and you want to live by the Spirit, if you're finding this difficult, if you're lacking joy, you don't have to lack joy. Ask the Spirit to help you. He's there for you. And I'm going to ask you to come forward as well. You know, I want to see us as a people out in our community displaying these fruits, because when it's done on the foundation of love, people are going to be drawn to that. We want to see people's lives changed. Let's pray, eh? Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. God, our helper. And that name is just so appropriate for what you've brought today. God, the fruit of the Spirit. We wanna see more and more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And God, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be moving through this building. Lord, I pray that it would be stirring those who, Lord, feel that distance from you at the moment. Maybe those ones who don't know your love. God, maybe those people who are standing there right now, God, their life might be in turmoil. They're lacking joy. They want to see more growth in their personal life. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bring them forward for prayer. I pray for each of us, God, as we go out this week, that Lord, your Holy Spirit would direct our steps. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just help us to take a step back and reflect on how we're living our lives. God, we want to see transformation for your kingdom. We want to see your kingdom here on earth. So be with us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're in any of those categories, or if you've got something specific you'd like prayer for, please come forward. There's going to be morning tea now, and it's been great to have you all here. Have a great week.